This is the Legacy United Methodist Podcast.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Brandon. I'm one of the pastors here at Legacy. Whether you're joining us online, on television, or right here in the sanctuary, I'm so glad you decided to start your Sunday here and your week with us. So my grandfather, Elmer, he was a mechanic for Taxi 9000 here in Bismarck in the 1980s. Now, in one season, many of the taxis came into the shop and they all had their check engine lights on, that light that tells us that something may or may not be wrong with our vehicles. Now, in short order, he had all of the cars running and working and all the check engine lights were off. Gary, he was the owner of Taxi 9000 at the time, goes over to my grandfather. Elmer, that's incredible. How did you get all these vehicles up and running so quickly? His response, I took a piece of black electrical tape and covered the check engine lights. Problem solved. Done. Now, there was absolutely seemed to be a time and an era with our automobiles that those check engine lights were the problem. Like, you checked everything, the car was fine, nothing mechanically wrong, the light just wouldn't turn off. I had a couple of cars like that growing up. It was fine, but the lights just would never go away, so you taped over them. Now, our vehicles today are incredibly advanced with their sensors and diagnostics. You can plug in a little computer. It'll tell you what that check engine light is tripping over. Not only that, even some of our newest vehicles, your phone is connected to an app on your phone, and it will tell you exactly what it needs. Brandon, I'm feeling a little low. I need an oil change. Brandon, I've got no arch support anymore. I need new tires. Brandon, I can't breathe very well. The oxygen sensor needs to be replaced. Now, regardless of whether or not you might drive around an older car or one of these newer ones, every warning system is useless. It is absolutely useless if we don't respond to it. The fuel low indicator is useless unless we put gas in the tank. The oil change needed indicator is useless unless we go get an oil change. And the low tire pressure warning is useless unless we put air in the tires. Even the check engine light is useless unless we start digging, get it to a mechanic, plug in a computer, whatever, to figure out what's making it trip and what's actually going on with our vehicles. Now, friends, we are not unlike our cars. We have also various warning lights and diagnostics we should run on ourselves on a regular basis. We have our own check engine lights telling us something is wrong. Something needs attention. Something needs to be adjusted, or things could get really out of whack. We could find ourselves broken down and need serious work unless we attend to the lights on the dashboard of our lives. So in this season of New Year's resolution and making changes to our lives, let's run some diagnostics on ourselves. Over the next few weeks, we're going to diagnose and dive into the following areas of our lives: our spiritual health, our physical health, our mental health, our financial, and our relational health. We're going to plug in the computer, run some diagnostics, and see if we've got warning lights that we've been ignoring and actually face them. Things that we need to change so that we run correctly and connect with God and live lives that God has designed us to live. Are there warning lights we've been ignoring? Are there places we need to tune up? Let's stop. Let us stop putting black tape over the areas of our lives we know that need attention and focus on them and work with Jesus to move forward. A while back, the brakes on my vehicle, I drive a Ford Edge, were feeling a little soft. There were no indicator lights, no warning lights, but I'm pushing the brake pedal more to the floor than it was before. I lived with it for a while, no warning lights, but then I decided I should probably get this checked. On the day I make the appointment, the red brake light comes on, which tells you I am critically low on brake fluid. Okay, critical repair needed. I'm actually a little concerned I'm going to lose brakes on my way over to the mechanic. And in my vehicle, I don't have a manual emergency brake. It's electric. So I don't really have a way to stop the vehicle if things go really sideways. Luckily, all was well. I made it over there, fixed the brakes. However, the brakes are now so sensitive that whenever I stop, I throw my passengers forward in the vehicle because the brakes are actually working like they were supposed to before. This morning, we are dealing with a similarly critical piece in our lives, a critical component. It's necessary to the correct functioning of all the other areas of our lives. It is the engine of our lives. It is our spiritual health. I'd adjust our earlier pie chart to look something like this. It affects everything that we do. And if you really want a truly accurate graphic, you throw a spider web over the whole thing, because we're not siloed nicely like that. Every single one of those areas affects everything else in our lives. We're not nicely siloed like that beautiful pie chart I made. You know, we are influenced by so many things in our lives, from our favorite news programs to authors that we love, to influencers, to that random YouTube or TikTok video we just happen to watch. What we put in the tank, what we listen to, what we read shapes the people that we become and how we act in the world. Is the primary shaping force in our lives Jesus? Or is it our favorite political party or author or influencer? What are we putting into the engine that runs all the other pieces of our lives? Our scripture this morning is James chapter 1. You're welcome to follow along in there in your Bible, on your favorite device, or on the screen with me. James identifies himself in the beginning of his letter as a slave of God and of the Master Jesus. Now, he neglects to mention, he buries the lead, that he is Jesus' brother. He is one of Jesus' half-brothers, really. He is the leader, was one of the leaders of the original, the first church in Jerusalem. During Jesus' time on earth, James and the rest of his family had likely to be embarrassed by Jesus at various times, this traveling teacher preacher that, frankly, they thought was a little loony. But when the resurrected Jesus appeared to James in person, James must have finally come to terms with who Jesus was and is, and how wrong he was about his half-brother. Now, James writes to some of the earliest believers who had been forced out of Jerusalem just a few years after Jesus' resurrection. They were forced to take the message of Jesus wherever they went to. Despite the Romans trying to wipe out this Jesus movement, they would remove the Christians from one city. They'd find, though, that after they removed them from one city, now there's five or six different churches all around in different cities popping up everywhere. They were playing a game of whack-a-mole, and they were not winning. James is going to give us some diagnostic criteria. He's going to give us some things to check on this dashboard of our lives. We're going to jump into the bottom of the first chapter in James, starting in verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. So one diagnostic criteria, a light on our dashboard for our spiritual engines, how do I respond? How do I respond to things that happen in my life? When things are going well, or perhaps more telling, when things are not going well, am I quick to listen? Am I slow to speak? And am I slow to get angry? Or do I not bother to listen at all, speak incredibly quickly, and fly off the handle? You know, we all have these things that drive us crazy and we fly off the handle with. One of them for me, slow drivers, and my definition of a slow driver. If the speed limit is 25 and you are not at least traveling 28, you are a slow driver and driving me absolutely crazy. How dare you travel the posted speed limit, or worse, under it? I've got places to be. I've got work to do, children to pick up, groceries to get there. You're going to make me 45 seconds later than I was expecting. How dare you? Now, why does this drive me nuts? Why does the slower driver in front of me, who's actually driving the legal speed limit, driving me so crazy? It's not their fault that someone told them to drive slower than the legally posted speed limit. It drives me nuts because I let it drive me nuts. It drives me nuts because I let it do that. It doesn't have to. It doesn't have to make me angry. It makes me angry because I let it make me angry. I can choose to be angry, or I can choose to have peace and patience instead. Now, I find the more I tend to that spiritual engine in my life, the more that I spend time developing a daily connection with Jesus through scripture and prayer and the like, the more I'm able to access peace and patience when I need it. The more I find myself quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry, especially with those driving under the posted speed limit. We'll leave the people writing checks in the checkout line for another day. Now, regular spiritual maintenance is critical for our health. We've got to pay attention to our engines daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly. If you didn't know it, your vehicle likely has a regular maintenance schedule that you carry out at various mileage intervals and years, and we've got the same for us. Our spiritual engines require daily maintenance, like prayer and scripture reading and the like, weekly time in worship like this, what we're doing with fellow Christians in person or online, practices like the Sabbath, taking a day off each week to remember, I don't control everything and God's got this, and these yearly rhythms of taking breaks, of celebrating Christmas and Pentecost and Easter. There's a fantastic spiritual practice I want to commend to you called the Rule of Life. Essentially, it's a collection of practices that you're going to build as habits into your life, and it's your rule of life. Prayer, scripture reading, and you're going to practice these over, say, the next year. And the idea is you don't set some impossible goal you're not going to reach, but you're going to set a goal that's going to stretch you. You're going to spend more time in prayer, more scripture reading, more rest than you did the year before. Your pastors right now here at Legacy, the three of us, we're deciding and praying and discerning what we want to commit to each other to live in this rule of life for the next year. Now, a rule functions like a rope in a blizzard. It guides us home when things just go crazy, when life is chaotic around us. Now, Parker Palmer, the author and speaker, he tells the story of farmers in the Midwest, right here in our part of the world, how they would prepare for blizzards by tying a rope from their back door of their house to the barn to guide them home safely. We know blizzards come up crazy fast and quickly. When the full force was blowing, a farmer could not see the end of his or her hand. Many froze to death in those blizzards early on, disoriented by their inability to see. They wandered in circles. They got lost sometimes in their own backyard. If they lost the grip on the rope, it became impossible to find their way home. Some froze within feet of their own front door, never realizing how close they were to safety. It was absolutely crucial to tie the rope before winter arrives. You know, we can easily lose our way spiritually in the whiteout of the blizzards that come into our lives. Blizzards begin when we say yes to way too many things, when we're scattered, when we're overloaded, and we're too busy. Our ability to love God, ourselves, and others can get lost. A rule of life is a rope. It's a rope that guides us back to Jesus. It's the regular maintenance schedule on the spiritual engine of our lives. It leads us home in a blizzard, and it keeps the car running when the weather outside is absolutely frightful. So when James tells us to get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it is the power to save your souls, we only learn what filth and evil is by spending time with God, by being shaped by Jesus. We tend the word God has planted in our hearts to save our souls through prayer and worship, scripture reading, meditation, and the like. For us pastors, our rule is going to look something like this. It'll likely have four categories: prayer, rest, work, and relationships. We're going to spend time daily in scripture and in prayer, as well as studying books beyond scripture that fit with our jobs, our gifts, and our graces. You know, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, was fond of saying he was a man of one book. He was a person of one book, the Bible. So did that mean he only read the Bible for the rest of his life? Of course not. He was widely read. He read all kinds of things. He wrote books, including a medical textbook I've got in my office. He was a lifelong learner. But it was the Bible, it was the Word of God that was his rope that brought him back to what mattered most in his life. May we all be people of one book like that, widely read and remembering what is primary. In our rest, we're going to prioritize Sabbath, a 12 or 24-hour period where we do no work, remembering God's got this, and we do not control the world. We practice simplicity and extravagant generosity, giving the tithe 10% here and avoiding the traps of bad debt. And we're going to make time to play, and we're going to make time for recreation to restore us. In our work, we're going to take care of our physical bodies through good nutrition, through exercise, and we're continually evaluate if what we're doing in our work is the best use of our time. Last but not least, our relationships. We're going to prioritize our own emotional health, as well as our family relationships, and have friendships that go beyond the pastor-parishioner relationship. Now, you might see that. That's our sketch of our pastoral rule of life. You see that, and you're like, wow, I could not do that. So first of all, yes, absolutely, you could do that. But you don't need to start there. You don't have to start there. Maybe your rule to keep your engine running smoothly is just going to be in worship. Like, okay, for 2022, I'm going to be in worship every week, whether it's here in person or online. Fantastic. That is a great start. Your spiritual engine needs work to maintain. Jesus wants to be in connection with you. Make something that's going to stretch you from wherever you're at. My reading scripture, one verse a day for this week, this month. Pick one thing. Just pick one thing and start building your rule, your rope that's going to help you stay grounded with all the blizzards that's going to come your way. So on the dashboards of our lives, we've got to pay attention to how we respond, how we're reacting to people and situations. That alone could be flashing in our lives, and we need to check our engines. Find practices like this rule of life to help you remain grounded in Jesus. Let's keep going in James's letter. We're going to pick it up now in verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and you don't obey, it's like you're glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. You know, we can make all kinds of plans and rules. We can see we respond negatively and angrily to various events and to people. We see the warning lights on the dashboard, but if we don't do anything, if we just see it and we don't respond, then James tells us we are fooling ourselves. We have reality right in front of our face. We see things that trigger our non-righteous anger. We know that scripture reading and prayer will help with more tools at our fingertips than the earliest Christians could have ever imagined. And if we don't even try, we are fooling ourselves. We must be people who hear God's word, who study it, and actually do what it says. We must let Jesus change and transform us. Jesus must truly be the Lord of our lives, and we must submit to his authority in it. It is just so tempting to see the warning light on the dashboard and just walk away. Just forget it. Even come up with some reason as to why it's okay and put a piece of black tape over it. We look in the mirror and we forget what we look like, is what James says. We humans have this incredible ability to create our own reality that is simply not true. While the internet has been an incredible tool, it's also allowed us to create and to believe our own realities in spite of the facts right in front of us. We cluster ourselves away in echo chambers, people that believe just as we do, and we never face reality, individually or communally, as it is. And that is incredibly dangerous. We look in the mirror, we see the warning light, and we forget it's even flashing or convince ourselves that it isn't. We listen to the word and we don't obey. Friends, don't ignore the warning lights. Don't ignore the warning lights in your dashboard on your spiritual engine. So much of the trouble and danger we run into involves us burying what we know is wrong, just hoping it's going to go away, just putting that piece of black tape over it. We must acknowledge reality as it is and take steps necessary to get our spiritual engine functioning at optimal capacity, at top efficiency, connected with Jesus. James ends chapter 1 with one of my favorite passages of scripture. It's a distillation, it's a summary of what it means to follow Jesus every day of our lives. He writes, "If you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for widows and orphans in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you." If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, don't speak graciously about those that are not your favorite, don't watch how you speak through your mouth or your fingertips online, then your religion is worthless. Whew, That is direct, but he is absolutely right. That is a huge flashing warning light. How we speak about each other, how we speak to and about those we have deep disagreements about, speaks much about our maturity in our journey and our walk with Jesus. Jesus was not kidding when he told us to love our enemies. There's perhaps no greater practice that shapes our heart to be like Christ than when we think and pray and do all that we can to love those we see as our enemies. Because in the practice of prayer, we're going to see that even our enemies are created in the image of God, who Jesus also came, died, and was resurrected for. So, what is religion that is worthwhile? What is religion that is pure and faultless in the eyes of God? Caring for widows and orphans in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Putting faith into action by caring for those who cannot care for themselves. And living in a way that is different than the world around us, with patience and humility and praying for our enemies. That's the kind of faith. That's the kind of faith God finds faultless and pure, and that is what we're supposed to strive for. So friends, how's your spiritual engine doing this morning? Did we trip some warning lights for you that are now flashing, that are trying to get your attention? Maybe how you respond needs some work. Maybe your controlling your tongue light is on. Maybe the caring for widows and orphans and others is flashing. Maybe you've spent too long seeing others as your enemies without praying for them. Whatever it is, whatever's flashing on your dashboard today, face it. Don't bury it. Put the black electrical tape back in the drawer. Don't create a false reality that it isn't on, and deal with it. Pick just one practice, whether it's scripture or prayer or meditation or Sabbath, something that will have your spiritual engine running more smoothly. Let's take the black tape off the light and face it together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we live in a loud and noisy world, and we confess your voice gets drowned out from all the others competing for our attention. Forgive us for placing something else in that primary spot in our lives. May we take steps this week to deal with the flashing spiritual engine light in our lives, taking just one step toward you. May we serve others and refuse to be corrupted by this world and all that we do. It's in your resurrected name that we pray together. Amen.